Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
Two faith leaders are working on a big project in Pleasantville. Let's go in depth with Jenny Koenig and Emily Calkins with the Pleasantville Youth Initiative. So you two are the driving force behind the Pleasantville Youth Initiative.
Yes.
Tell us about the Pleasantville Youth Initiative.
So we started in, I always forget this date. Maybe you can tell the date.
I don't know.
It was 5 years ago.
5 years ago,
yeah. And basically we exist to help the kids in Pleasantville know that they matter to their community and that they matter to God. We give them stuff to do, and we do stuff in the community. We kind of see ourselves as a generational enrichment ministry, which to us means that we don't just do stuff for the youth. We do stuff for the whole community. But we really believe that by impacting one kid, we can impact a generation after that and a generation after that. And so that's kind of who we are. Yeah, I don't know. We do a lot.
Well, and we first met several years ago, and I don't remember if it was about this, so forgive me, but all I remember was seeing you two, and there was a whole bunch of kids,
yep.
And the kids were really engaged, and they were, I don't know what we were all talking about, but they were kids with energy, kids that seemed committed, kids that were having fun, and this is all part of what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. We do, so we have fun events. So, for example, I think what you came to last time, we had the competition for kids who like games, is what we called it.
That's right. Okay.
And the kids were really excited about that because it was an event where they just came and there was competitions of different types of games and trivia and fun stuff like that. And then at the end, the winners got a trophy, which was an old bowling trophy from like the 1990s or something like that. And so they were really excited about that last time you interviewed us. But that's one example of the fun events we do. We also do post-game parties. So after a football game, we have a DJ and free snacks and stuff for the kids. We do middle school dances and all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, and it started with the post-game parties. Just when we moved to town, we were both involved in the same youth group. And when we had youth group, they would do these fifth quarter parties. And so it was just after a football game, you would come, you'd hang out, you'd watch movies. It just kind of kept you out of trouble so you're not running around. And so we come back to town and just thought we'd like to bring that back. And so that is kind of how it started, was just us with the post-game party. And we just do one football game a season, and we just set up in the Memorial Hall and let the kids come in. We play music, and then it kind of started. The first one we did, we had like 80 kids come. And so we saw that there was definitely a need for it. And so then it just kind of started growing from there. And then we started adding in events. And now we try and do an event, at least one event a month for the kids. And sometimes it's two or three things with added community events and fundraisers and things. So yeah, it just started growing. And
yeah,
we just started doing more things for them and just giving them things to do, getting in front of them and just letting them know that there are people in our community that love them and that they matter, and just getting things to do so that they're not going out and getting in trouble and kind of stuff. But.
Right, you're offering interesting alternatives. And I remember in high school after games and doing all kinds of potential for, you know, I don't know, for trouble or whatever.
Yep.
But it's just an open, it's an open void and a big world to explore, and you're offering a kind of a safe, interesting, positive place for them to be.
Yep, exactly. And we also help meet needs in the community. So last summer we partnered with the Knoxville Food Youth Initiative. I always say it wrong. Sorry, Robin, if you're listening. But and we helped hand out meals to kids all summer long. I think it was over 3,000 meals that we handed out in Pleasantville this summer. So part of our goal is not just to have fun with the kids, but also to meet their needs. Provide resources for parents. We have actually a lot more, you know, much more we want to do, but we don't have a location to do that out of. And that's sort of where our building project comes into play, which is our big push right now.
more in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Jenny Koenig and Emily Calkins with the Pleasantville Youth Initiative. Tell us about the building project.
So Pleasantville Grocery Store has been a staple in Pleasantville for a really long time. It's been an empty building for a long time after the store closed. And we came to happen that we were able to buy the building. But the building is not fixable. You want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah.
I would say I was on team renovation from the very beginning. I wanted to renovate the building, but when we brought in all the experts, we realized it was just not possible. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so my husband kind of headed up that committee, and so he works for a construction company. They have a commercial side, and so they brought in some engineers, and we brought in all kinds of quotes and things and had people look at it. And after they had looked at it, they just realized that it was something that really couldn't, it was kind of a hazard, and they said that we couldn't even get bids to get the foundation fixed. And so we realized that the project we thought was going to be something more towards like a $400,000, $500,000 project turned into a $1.6 million project. And that was a little daunting when we first saw those numbers. And in our small community, we were like, is this possible? Can we do this? And then after we sat down and prayed about it and thought about it, we really thought that this could be, we love to give extravagant gifts to our community, and this could be like our first big extravagant gift we give to our community, is to really do something with this building downtown and just like make it be teeming with life. And something that's just been, it's just been kind of, nobody's been coming in and out of it for a number of years, and we've just noticed the impact it's had on our square and our, you know, uptown. And so we just wanted to bring something and bring life, and how can we just bless our community? So that was kind of our heart behind it.
And not just for the kids also, but so part of the goal what will be in the building is a place for the kids to gather. And I think people think the traditional youth room or youth building where you bring in old couches and things, that's not what we have planned. Classrooms for art classes and music classes for the kids, kitchen for cooking and teaching the kids to cook, life skills, adult 101 type of classes. But in addition, we have a self-sustaining or a sustainable part of the building too. So the second level of the building would be a co-working space. And maybe you could explain that a little bit, the co-working space.
Yeah. So we're actually thinking about building up. And so with that extra level, it's going to give us just some space to bring in some income for our community. I know that that's important when you're, I don't know, donating, and when you're a nonprofit, is just making sure that you can keep your lights on. And we want to be able to focus on ministry. And so what that will do is it'll allow us to bring some life into the community at a co-working space where people can come in and they can do networking in there, but they can also, it'll just give them a place to get away from their desk. And we've done some research on rural communities and just people needing a space to do, you know, entrepreneurial type work and work from home type work. And so it'll just give them a place to connect and not just be alone in their house, so that they can come in and do that co-working space. So that'll be something that we can generate some income off of to help keep our lights on and help support the ministry, and then also some rentable just real estate space, commercial space that people can rent from us, bring a business in on the other side. And we're gauging interest in that right now, so if anybody's interested in talking to us, they're welcome to. But yeah, so just to kind of have that type of a space to bring, it'll bring life, but it'll also help us keep the lights on. And then when people know, when they're giving a donation to the Youth Initiative, we really want those donations to go right back into the community. So it's just kind of just what we've set up to kind of help us be successful and for longevity with the nonprofit, and so the building can keep moving forward.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Jenny Koenig and Emily Calkins with the Pleasantville Youth Initiative. sort of sad. I have fond memories of going into that grocery store too, but once something is in disrepair, there's nothing that can be done. And then you've brought in all the experts to tell you that.
Yeah.
Now, don't those buildings all connect to each other? Is that an issue? You build a new, you're going to have to tear down the old building and put in the new one. And it's just going to, is it going to stand alone or is it going to butt? Can give me a visual of it if you
sure,
could.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we actually are going to have to do some bracing, and it will look very similar to what it looks now, or it will just butt right up to the one that is next to it. And so it's just that section of the building. And it just so happens that our friend Stacy Rousen, who owns Lakefront Living Boutique in Pleasantville, she's on our board for the Youth Initiative, and she's actually in the space that's going to be right next to where we're at. And so she coming into the building knew that this was going to be a part of what was going to be happening on the other side, and has been fully supportive of what we're doing too. So I think just as a group coming in and knowing, and we've had all kinds of crews come in and tell us, yeah, absolutely, we can do this. It won't be a problem at all. So we're confident that we can get that part of it done. And even when we looked at the design, so we do have like a street view of what the building will look like. Even designing that, when we were sitting with the architect, we wanted to make sure that we're not going way away from what it looked like originally. And we have pictures from what the building looked like in its original form. And it actually is going to make it look a little bit more like it originally looked, because it was, I think it was three stories. And now we'll bring it back up a story. So I think it'll bring, well, we're going to make sure that we pay homage to that history that that building has, because I have fond memories in that building too, like getting the little grab bags at the grocery store as a little kid and growing up coming by there. So it means something to us too. And so we want to make sure that we're paying homage to that as well. So
one of the things I like to say about it is Pleasantville Grocery has been nourishing our community for generations, and it's going to continue to do that, just a different type of nourishing. And so we're going to continue that legacy in that spot. Is our goal.
And let me get this number right. Did you say $1.6 million?
Yes.
That's like a crazy amount of money.
Yep. Yes, it is.
It sure is.
You're very optimistic.
We are. We are not running on ambition. We are running on faith. Mm. And ambition. And ambition. But not solely on ambition. And so we truly feel like God has called us to this. And we feel if he's called us to it, that he'll provide for it. And we've seen that numerous times, just with some of the donations that have been coming in, just how we started the year versus how we've ended the year. And so we've had great conversations with a lot of wonderful people in our county who have been super supportive and are like, you guys can do this. We're going to get behind you. We're going to support you, and we're going to help you, you know, along the way. So we have a lot of great partners that have come in just giving us information about grants and foundations and just like how we can do that. We've had great just support from our city and just people in our community. So we are confident that we can get this thing done.
Right, because one of our goals is to raise $250,000 of that locally. I mean, it all will hopefully be locally, but $250,000 locally, because a lot of the grants that we're looking into need a matching amount, mm-hmm. Or you have to raise a certain percentage to receive those grants. So right now we're kind of in that place where we're trying to really push for that beginning funds. And in the last 6 months, nine months, we've raised $100,000 of that. So locally. And so we're really excited about that and the momentum. The teens are donating, and everybody's super excited about it. So it is a lot of money. It's really daunting, but we were going to make it happen. We're going to do it. We're pretty determined.
When you're looking to the future based upon what's happening in Pleasantville, current development, what looks like future development as people are wanting to live, you know, a good rural life in a nice town and commute to Des Moines maybe, and they want to live in the larger metro areas. Pleasantville is primed for growth, is my understanding. And so you're sort of anticipating this.
Yep, absolutely. And one of the things that's really important to us too is, you know, small towns like Pleasantville are easy to overlook. Even in a county like Marion County that has such great communities like Pella and Knoxville, like, you know, Pleasantville is right on the edge there. It's easy to overlook, but God doesn't overlook it. And Jesus was a small town kid. you know, Nazareth was a small town, and so good things can come out of small towns, do come out of small towns. And so we want these kids to know not only can good things come out of this small town and in our county, but you can be really successful and still live in your county and still live in the small town, because there's things to do and there's community to be a part of. A lot of people think that success means in a small town you have to leave it, go to the big city or something like that, and we're trying to say it doesn't matter if you go outside of the community, you matter here, and we love you here, and we want you here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we'll see.
Thanks to Jenny Koenig and Emily Calkins for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.